This is Crossroads, the Get Religion podcast.
We know that religious affiliation is, well, not as strong as it used to be here in the U.S. Not just people who identify as some particular religious denomination or confession of faith, but also, I mean, that's weakened too, but also just the sheer number of people who are claiming a religious affiliation. It's now well known that the nuns, those who claim no religious affiliation at all here in the U.S., are a small group, but the fastest growing group of religiously unaffiliated in the United States. Is that true elsewhere also? Greetings and welcome to Crossroads with Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
You were recently in Prague, and you made some observations about kind of the state of religiosity over there. How different is it from the state of religiosity here in the U.S.?
You know what? It was really, really interesting to me in that, you know, the old saying that when Europe sneezes, America catches a cold, or is the other way around. The whole idea that Europe is kind of ahead of us on certain trends. Well, the Czech Republic is genuinely fascinating, even in the context of Europe, and especially within the context of Eastern Europe. I went over there knowing I wanted to write about this topic because there was recently a survey done by the Pew Research Center. You know, it seems like we talk about the Pew Forum people almost every week. They do so much interesting research. And this one was called Religious Belief and National Belonging in Central and Eastern Europe. You can't put that on the back of a T-shirt at a softball game. But it, you know, there's a lot of ideas in there. Basically, the Czech Republic is like the most secular place in Europe, let alone in Eastern Europe. Whereas Catholicism in places like Poland has slightly faded in its impact. And in other countries that are nominally Orthodox, you have in the post-communist world, you have a rising interest in Orthodoxy, even though it's led to only modest increases in things like worship and prayer. In the Czech Republic, the stats are genuinely fascinating. Let me just give you an indication. We've been all up in arms here in America by the fact that the religiously unaffiliated meets the agnostic, meets the atheist portion of the American population is now up in the 20s. In the Czech Republic, 72% of adults in the Czech Republic identify as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular. So in the Czech Republic, the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, of all different ages are up to 72% of the population. 21% are Catholic, 1% Orthodox, less than 1% Muslim, and 6% describe their faith as other. Only 29% of Czechs affirmed the statement that they believe in God. 9% of Czechs said they pray daily. And among Catholics in the Czech Republic, only 22% of the Catholics, if you remember, are 21% of the population, only 22% of Catholics say they go to Mass every week. We're dealing with an extraordinarily secular land. Now, what interested me was something I had heard from a veteran Czech journalist who I have known for years, that he pointed out that according to other surveys, the Czech Republic is the most secular land in Europe, and it's also the most superstitious. So what does superstitious mean? You dig into some other polls, not into the Pew Forum stuff, and you see things like 80% of Czech women read horoscopes, along with almost 50% of the men. One-third of all Czech citizens say they're afraid of black cats and believe that Friday the 13th is a bad day. 76% knock on wood so as not to spoil things. 78% believe in the power of fate. 62% say they trust lucky numbers. and one-third of the population carries a lucky amulet or magic rock. So what this to me was really interesting, because the question is this land actually secular, or is it in transition back to a state of kind of a folk religion-based population, that when faced with eternal questions and the big questions of religion, they're in effect saying, I'm going to make up my own form of faith out of all of these other influences that are in my land, whether it's folk religions, reincarnations, maybe a dash of Eastern religion, here, there, and whatever. I'm going to do this on my own. Now, doesn't that sound like more of what you've heard in America rising as a part of our national psyche, say, post-Woodstock?
So I guess what I'm wondering is the Czech Republic ahead of us or behind us in this trend?
Well, I think they're ahead of us in terms of heading toward a kind of radical individualistic approach to religion. Now, the other thing that leapt into my mind, you may be familiar with the work of a scholar named Robert Bella. And Bella wrote a book, very influential book, called Habits of the Heart. And in it, he came up with a term which is kind of, it's not the sort of thing you would read in a newspaper, but in the academic literature, you'll run into it a lot. And the name of, have you ever heard the term Sheilaism?
No.
Okay, let me read you a passage from Habits of the Heart and see if this sounds like what we're talking about. It's fairly long, but hang in there. Sheila Larson is a young nurse who has received a good deal of therapy and describes her own faith as Sheilaism. This suggests the logical possibility of more than 235 million American religions, one for each of us. I believe in God, Sheila says. I'm not a religious fanatic. Notice that in our culture, strong statements of belief implies fanaticism. I can't remember the last time I went to church. My faith has carried me a long way. It's Sheilaism, just my own little voice. Sheila's faith has some tenets beyond belief in God, though not many. In defining what she calls my own Sheilaism, she says, you just try to love yourself and be gentle with yourself. You know, I guess I take care of each other. I think God would want us to take care of each other. Like many other Americans, Sheila would not be willing to endorse many more specific points. Now, what does that sound like to you?
Well, I mean, it just sounds like, quite honestly, what I think one researcher has called, what is it, moralistic therapeutic
deism? It's exactly right. Yeah. It sounds like moralistic therapeutic deism is a fancy name for Sheilaism. God wants us to be happy. God loves us. God's there when we get in trouble. But otherwise, there's no specific teachings. There's no, you know, they're opposed to religious certainty about, you know, morality and things like that. The way this journalist in the Czech Republic put it to me, a wonderful poet and journalist who used to be the head of Radio 6 for the Czech Republic, which is their station dedicated to politics, culture, and religion. He said this, speaking in English, his English is excellent, still asking, modern Czech people, he said, are, quote, still asking questions about what is good and what is bad and questions about life and death. What is different is that they are saying, I will decide what is good. I will decide what is bad. No one can tell me what to believe about any of that. So, here we are in a land, in the European context, where you have entire countries that at one point in their history had kind of a strong, common, shared religious ethos. The symbol of that would be something like Poland, or maybe even Catholicism in France, or Greek, you know, Orthodoxy in Greece, or Bulgaria, or something like that, or Romania. But they seem to be, at least if the Czech Republic is any sign, that it's moving toward this kind of radical individualism. Well, when I think of radical individualism in religion, one of the first things I think about is America. I mean, we're the land of kind of make up your own mind. You know, we have 80,000 forms of Baptist life. We have all of these different, we have no uniform approach to religion in America other than kind of a generalized Judeo-Christian sort of civil religion, so, you know, some would call it. When I was listening to this in the Czech Republic, what I wondered is America, where most people think America is getting more secular, perhaps it's more constructive. If pastors and even religion reporters or whatever, instead of thinking of America getting secular, you think America is getting more prejudiced against a religion based on doctrine and certainty, as opposed to kind of a shopping mall, do-it-yourself religion, an American individualism religion. And if that's the case, man, that it's going to be really hard to make a case for traditional faith in a land in which individualism has gotten even stronger. I've been digging a little bit the last day or so since getting back from Prague. You may remember that there was a famous quote that's attributed to G.K. Chesterton. The quote is, "When men choose not to believe in God, they do not thereafter believe in nothing. They then become capable of believing in anything." Well, it turns out Chesterton may not have said that. That may be someone's paraphrase of several things that are in a G.K. Chesterton story about Father Brown, you know, the priest who solves mysteries. But it's very much within the thought of Chesterton, that sort of thing. When you stop believing in specific religion, you don't go secular. You evolve into a more individualistic, vaguer form of religion. If that's the case, then I think religious leaders here in America may want to pay very close attention to what's happening in Europe, and specifically in Eastern Europe, and in terms of whether those lands are going to be able to kind of regain their sense of faith, or are they all going to turn into lands governed essentially by Sheilaism?
I got a question that just occurred to me, and probably because famous atheist Richard Dawkins is in the news lately for his, disinviting? I didn't know that was the word, disinvitation to Berkeley. But you know, here's a guy like Richard Dawkins who, in kind of the crusade for rationalism and atheism, has targeted mostly Christianity and then some Islam, obviously, from the story out of Berkeley, where he ran afoul of a public radio station's fundraiser out there. But I'm wondering whether or not guys like Dawkins might say, maybe not the yes, I'm an atheist, but there are a lot of really kooky beliefs out there that I need to spend my time debunking as well, like, well, from the Pew Research here in the United States, ghosts, aliens, the paranormal, something like that.
Yeah,
that
wonderful headline the other day in the U.S., I mean, in the New York Times, that I saw this when I got home from Prague, and I went, gosh, this all sounds so familiar. The headline the other day in the New York Times, "Don't believe in God, maybe you'll try UFOs."
So
what does Dawkins say about that?
I mean, do you think that the kind of the professional atheists have a whole new market now?
Do they have a whole new market, or do they have a whole new set of enemies? I mean, to some degree, from their perspective, which is less rational, the writings of Thomas Aquinas or people who believe in UFOs? I'm wondering, how do you debate fog? How do you, if you're an atheist apologist, or if you're a Christian apologist, and you want to make a case for this, for traditional Christian faith, or if you want to make a case for the opposition to traditional faith, in the case of Dawkins, how do you debate fog? Just kind of clouds of do-it-yourself, vague, this, that, or the other. It's like, how would you debate Oprah? It's like, whatever you say, Oprah says, man, that's right. But then, the minute you try to apply it to anything specific, she'd say, no, I think that you're going too far. That's judgmental. Religion is great as long as it's the right kind of religion. It's the right kind of vague religion. And once again, this is moralistic therapeutic deism. This is the religiously unaffiliated. What I think is, you know, we had a time in the 70s and 80s where this was called New Age. And New Age was like commercialized versions of Eastern religion. It was kind of what it was. The whole crystals thing, you know, and the reincarnation. A former Hindu thinker turned Christian apologist once wonderfully told me, he said, only in America could you sell reincarnation as the good news. I mean, obviously Americans have no idea what the wheel of karma, you know, or reincarnation is actually about in terms of the views of many in traditional Hinduism. So it's like we've been kind of doing a lot of this, and the key, though, is that the numbers of vague Christians continue to go down, and they're evolving into this Sheilaism. They're evolving into the spiritual but not religious category. Apologetics is based on the idea that you can sit down and have a rational conversation about the faith, right? When you were in seminary and you studied apologetics, isn't it kind of based on logic and thinking and kind of making a case?
Absolutely.
For stuff?
Yeah,
it's Paul on Mars Hill, you know, tell me what you believe, I'll kind of argue with it and debate it. Well, what if people believe something totally different almost every day? And what if it's magic rocks and haunted houses and kind of generic spiritual yoga and pick your own mantra and nature religion? What if that's where we're headed? What if the Czech Republic is where we're headed? I'm wondering if many pastors are thinking about that. And something I've spent years and years working on, and this is largely what my book is about. How would you describe the religion of American pop culture? Isn't it this kind of feel good, there's something out there, the truth is out there, but you never find it. It's just like a big, fuzzy, warm mystery. And in the end, everybody's happy, which I'm afraid is not a description of how most Americans and other people live their lives in terms of the happiness part at the end of the equation. This is all very confusing. And if listeners listening to the two of us right now, if they're confused, I'm sad to say that means they're paying attention. Because this stuff is confusing. That what people are arguing as spiritual reality and their approach to the big issues of life is ultimately a very vague, confused individualism. That must drive atheists crazy, too.
With only a minute here, Terry, you chronicle some of the statistics of church attendance, mass attendance, things like that, in the Czech Republic, which is ahead of us on this curve, as you said before.
Yeah.
So what should church leaders know with a minute? What should they know about where this is headed for churches in particular that open their doors on Sunday morning?
I think the big news here is that you can't just be friendly and be nice and be kind and think that that's all you're going to have to do to represent any form of traditional faith in America right now, whether that's Judaism dealing with intermarriage and with a lot of the trends within that faith, whether that's Catholics thinking the do-it-yourself catechism is something we can negotiate with, whether that's Lutherans, whether it's Baptists, whether it's the Orthodox. At some point, we're going to have to decide what the core of our faith is and learn how to explain it to Americans and stress to them that they're going to have to make a decision. And then we have to live with the fact that them saying, oh, I sort of believe all that, is another way of saying no. And try to press people for more specifics. That's all I can say at this point.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. And he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you next week. Thanks for listening to Crossroads with Terry Mattingly.
Crossroads is a joint production of GetReligion.org and Issues Etc.